Welcome to Cottage Talk. I'm Russ Goldman, and co-hosting with me today is David Hulley, Mike Gregg, and Scott Tamfield. This special episode entitled The Current State of Fulham, we're going to analyze the current situation for the club and also share our thoughts on how it can be fixed. We do have a full show, plenty of subject to go through, but I have to welcome one of my co-hosts who's on the line with me right now. David, how you doing, my friend?
Hi, Russ. Looking forward to chewing the fat with you and the other guys and seeing if we can fix for them. I reckon if we can in an hour, then we should all get jobs.
Absolutely. Absolutely, David. You know, again, that's part. I was going to say that's part of this show. We're going to see if we can fix Fulham. So I'm glad that you brought that up.
Yes, well, with my grey hair, I should be Kit. Mike Gregg is almost Mike Rigg anyway, so not much of a change there. I'm not sure about Scott. Scott can be Scott Parker, perhaps. And Russ, who will you be then?
Are you telling me I'm going to be Shad Khan?
Yeah, well, I suppose that's or Ali Mack, really. I suppose, yeah.
Okay. I can be Ali Mack. That's fine. All right, I'm going to bring on our other person. Would this be Scott or would it be Mike Gregg?
Hi, Russ. It's Michael.
Mike, how you doing, my friend?
Yeah, not too bad. Got the start of a cold by, so I might sound a bit nasally today. But looking forward to the show and see if we can make sense of what's going on at the moment.
Yes, you know, Mike, this is actually your suggestion, so I want to thank you for suggesting this. And I actually thought it was a great idea for us to talk about this. And listen, we're going to talk about what's going wrong. You know, again, we're going to place the blame on the different parts of the situation, but then we're going to talk about how can we fix it. And I'm going to put you into several roles to get some ideas from you guys to see how we can fix it. So, again, it's going to be looking back at what's wrong, but also we're going to see if we can come up with ways to fix the issues. So that's why I thought this would be fun. And we are just waiting for Scott to join us. Hopefully he'll be joining us shortly. But let's get going. Let's get started here, guys. And this first section I'm just calling the blame pie. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to give you different subjects, and I want you to place a percentage of the blame, obviously all adding up to 100%. And the categories are going to be Felix McGath, Kit Simons, Shad Khan, the players, and also injuries, because I think injuries are a factor as well. So I want to really, you know, factor that into this as well. And, Mike, I'm going to start with you. Again, looking at Fulham's current situation, we are right now on 19th. You know, again, we are only 5 points away from the relegation zone, from being in the relegation area. So it is a very precarious situation. But I want to talk about who do we blame here, you know, and what percentage do we give to each person or, like I said, subject. So let's start with Felix. How much of the blame pie do you give to Felix McGath?
Okay, so, I mean, we're looking at this season. Let's remove last season from the equation.
And, just this season.
See how it, yeah. So, you know, Felix has left us with an unbalanced squad, definitely. Whoever's decision it was to remove all of those players during the summer, which, you know, I'll be honest, I didn't have too much of a problem with probably 90% of those players going. There was probably only a couple I would have personally kept. And so the actual changeover from getting rid of an old squad and having a younger squad, I felt was the right way to go. We've gone a little bit too far in one extreme. And then also with his contacts, those players who we like to call dead wood, and a lot of them have been moved on this week, who were signed, you know, Fovenham, you know, those kind of players who have hardly made an appearance all season have just been a waste of time. So somebody whose reputation and knowledge of those kind of players who he could get in has left us in the situation we're in, and which had to be picked up by Kit. So totally starting the season with a blank bit of paper, he should have done better in, you know, having the right balance on the wings in midfield. You know, Hoogland has come in. He's injury prone from the last few years, and it's happened again to him this year. But he's a solid player, I suppose. You know, Hutchison was a free transfer, but I wonder if that was more of a long-term scouting by the club anyway. Bodaroff has turned out to be an okay. Stafelidis, the jury's out, but he's young. McCormick, we can all see he has something about him, and he was the league's top goal scorer. But really, you look at the squad, I'd print that squad list off. And from day one of the season, it's been that central midfield area where we've been lacking experience. And, with only Parker being a player who you could say has enough experience to hold that midfield together, you take him out of the equation and we haven't got anyone. And Fotheringham wasn't an answer and he should never have been signed. But, there must have been a defensive midfielder out there in Germany or, available over here that we could have signed. So, for where we are and the start we had with Felix Bingo, and although it could be argued we probably played the best football in those first games than we've played recently, he never got the results. He mucked about with players, and you can see their morale dropped. So I'm actually going to give him probably about 60% of the blame for where we are at this moment in time. Yeah.
Interesting. Very, very interesting take there, Mike. And listen, you went into some really good detail of the regime under Felix McGath. Again, we're just concentrating on this season. You really broke it down nicely. So you're going to give 60% of the current blame for the situation for this season on Felix McGath. Very interesting. David, over to you. I'm curious how much of the blame pie you give to Felix McGath.
This is difficult because I have to try and look at all the other ones. Otherwise, I'm going to run out of percentages, of course. You might suddenly think, oh, God, I wish I gave more to someone else now.
Correct.
I don't think I can give Felix that much because the blame, okay, I take what Mike says and he's put it very well. But obviously, the situation didn't start this season. It didn't start when Kit came. It didn't start at the start of the season. It didn't even come when Felix came. The current state of Fulham, is the culmination of, a long-term decline, let's say, or a medium to long-term decline. So, I think Mike mentioned it actually in email yesterday. You could apportion blame to Fayad and to people that preceded everyone on this list.
Sure.
So, for me, the current state of Fulham isn't just the current situation. So, I don't think you can apportion as much of the blame to him as that, because although he was a lunatic, we were already, in dire straits when he first came. And also, as Mike said, there were players that were probably well past their sell-by dates and needed to be moved on anyway. And he has brought some players in, who were, turned out to be useful or reasonable. I mean, Hutchinson's done okay. He's recovered after a poor start. He said Hoogland seems to be a reasonable player if he can stay fit, obviously. Staff leaders, yes, the jury's out. Bodaroff has been a good, solid player. McCormack, obviously, has been a good player, despite some of his, histrionics and things. Just to name a few, obviously there are some disasters in there, like Pajamas and Fotheringham and Cheehy and Faslik, who's gone, and, people that we'll probably never see again. So it's not... obviously, he's by no means been a good manager, as we know. But for me, I don't think I can go that much. I think it would be more like 30%.
Okay, fair enough, David. So you're going to go with 30%. And listen, very good by you for also bringing up Mohamed Al-Fayed, because, again, we could have I could have added him as well. I could have added Ali Mack as well. But I was trying just to concentrate on this season. And I guess I could have added Ali Mack to that. I see what you're saying because, again, the erosion began years ago. So I see where you're going on that. But I was really just concentrating on this season. So that's why, maybe I shouldn't have given Ali Mack a pass. But I did, So again, I could see why you're going that. But 30%? Okay, fine. Be very interesting how you add up the rest of the blame pie there, David. And I'm going to go right back to you because now let's go to the current Fulham manager, Kit Simons. And again, you're giving 30% to Felix McGuess. I'm curious how much you're going to put on Kit.
It all depends on whether you let me give any percent to people who are not on that list. Otherwise, I'm going to fall short, aren't I? Kit Simons obviously is considerably less than McGuess. Again, he's coming at, you know, an even worse situation than when McGuess came in, I guess. At least when McGuess came here, we were still in the Premier League, and thus we had a chance of staying there. But, of course, McGuess, through his methods, through his transfer, through everything really, has left us in a situation where we had 1 point, I think, after 8 games. So clearly, you know, Kit has had to start from a very low level. And Kit has done, you know, so many good things for Fulham. But the big question is, you know, can he move us on? And more, and you know, the longer we go on, I start to think maybe he can't. Maybe he doesn't have the nous. Perhaps someone alongside him could do that, but I don't think he has the nous, the plan B, or even the plan A, some people say, which is a bit hard. But for me, I think you have to look at probably, if you're giving Felix 30, I can only really give Kit 10% because he inherited a terrible situation. So I'm just going to give him 10.
Okay. Well, listen, you still have 60% to go, my friend. I'm looking forward to see how you figure out the rest of the 60%. I got a funny feeling I know where the majority of that's going, but again, we'll have to wait and see. All right, Mike. Now, you had 60% going to Felix, so I'm curious how much you're going to give to Kit.
Yeah, just to clarify, I mean, I'm doing the percentage based on this year and the five options you gave us. Yeah, so we haven't included Mohamed and everyone else. So,
exactly.
But let's concentrate on this year. What's gone has gone before last year, and we know Mohamed, you know, stopped investing money. You can see that from the accounts. And we were running as a business for a couple of years where we were losing a little bit, making a little bit. So we were sustainable, if you like, in that sense. But a little bit more investment, a little bit use of the money more wisely, and we probably wouldn't be in our position now. So there's other people like Joel and his mismanagement of funds. So it's a massive subject. But this year, you know, I've gone with Felix for 60. For Kit, I'm just going to give him 10%. I mean, he's inherited the squad as it is. He showed over his first 15 games up to before Christmas that he could mould them and get them to play as almost the top four, top six side, results-wise, anyway. And the trouble is, since Boxing Day, you know, the wheels have come off quite a bit, and we are where we are. We're on Friends of Fulham, there's a vote, and I think it's 54-46 to keep him. So, it's gone from 90% everyone wanting him after those early caretaker games down to, a spin of a coin. Do you gamble now or not? Because people are looking at the fixtures, they're looking at our performances and results, and you look at Millwall, they've won, I think, one game in 13 or something, and there we are coming along, everyone's favourite rollover team. And quite frankly, if we lose on Saturday and then we go to Wolves and, dear God, we lose there, I'd be really surprised if Kit's in place for Derby. I really would. And I'm a fan of his. I want him to get us through this little bump that we're in and find some way of getting around it. But he's making it very difficult for me because of his stubbornness with certain players and tactics, and then George Williams going on loan yesterday, which, some people are saying, oh, I'm not bothered about that, but it's getting rid of one of only three wingers we have in the squad who, someone who's direct, and he should have been there in the, if not the 18, the 20, ready to just come in if needed. But, so he's really not making it easy for me. But the actual blame where we are over the last few games, I'm only going to give him 10% of the blame because he's working with pretty much the squad he had. He's brought in a couple of loanies. He's brought some players in who have were frozen out. And but the other thing that I want to say about Kit is he gets a lot of criticism for, he's picking all these youngsters that he knew and everything. Saturday, there were two players who started from last year's under-18-21 side. So he isn't being biased towards them. He's trying to pick probably the most experienced side he can. If you look at the team the other day, it would be very hard to put any players in to make it more experienced. So I'm going to give him 10%, and that's purely down to his stubbornness on his tactics. He has to be a bit better with that. But he's not the whole reason we're in this position, so that's all I'm going to give him for that.
Okay, fair enough there. Fair enough there, Mike. Okay. David, you back with us?
Yeah, did you kick me off?
I didn't kick you off. You know, again, this could be a Blog Talk Radio issue, so I'm sorry about that. You know, as
no,
you can imagine, great. You know, I didn't kick you off, David. Trust me, I didn't do that. But anyways, listen, we are slowly working ourselves through that. So now we've talked about Felix McGath and Kit Simons. Let's now talk about the full owner, Mike, and I'll go right back to you. Let's talk about Shad Khan. And the reason why I didn't put, you know, like I said, maybe I made a mistake by not including Ali Mack. I didn't want to put Muhammad Al-Fayed on that because, again, I was just trying to concentrate on this season, starting this season and moving forward. I know where you guys are going, that the erosion began farther back, but I really just wanted to concentrate on this season. So how much do you put on the shoulders of Shad Khan, Mike?
Did you not want to speak to David about Kit?
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I not ask David about Kit? I'm sorry about that. David?
No, I mentioned Kit, didn't I? I gave him 10%. Mike, you're getting as bad as Russ in your old age.
Okay.
I must be, sorry. Yeah.
Okay, you guys are confusing me. Okay, not a problem. Mike, I will come back to you.
I'll go with Khan, yeah. Well, I mean, is he an absent owner? Is he really looking at what's happening and taking enough interest? Or is he a multi-billionaire who's letting other people run things? I mean, he dug a hole for himself last summer when he said, you know, there'd be nothing, no, what was the word exactly, you know, he would, every effort possible to get promotion. And I suspect that was a bit naive and he probably never heard of financial fair play or anything like that. But he did back, you know, for McCormick, whether it be 11 million or the 5.5, which people say. And, you know, he allowed them to sign a few other players. But if you actually look at the net spend in the summer, it wasn't much. You know, his fingers have been burnt with Mitroglou. And has he taken the right advice with the committee? Was that the right way to go? You know, you got a lot of criticism for that. Personally, I didn't see any harm in it, although I do think it probably took a week or two too long. I mean, if I went and took over an NFL club, I wouldn't know anything about it, so I'd be looking for advice. So asking advice shouldn't be seen as weakness. It should be, you know, looking at doing a proper job. But, you know, the advice he's taken probably on keeping McGath during the summer, not pushing hard enough that, you know, we've got some money, you need to spend it to improve the team in January, because I know there was money to spend in January. And so maybe he's just not hands-on enough in that way, you know, being a bit more forceful, because he's still learning about English football. And, but yeah, it's a difficult, but I am going to give him 29% blame. Almost a 30, but 29% of blame must go on him, because in the end, he is the chairman. The buck does stop with him. He has, you know, he's looking to rectify it with Mike Rigg being employed, and everything he said about when he was employed, it's the right way for me to run a club is to have someone overseeing all the football stuff. So he gets brownie points for that. But in the end, we're fans, we're looking at the club and we're saying, well, you know, relegated last year, near relegation again this year, you're hardly ever here, or, you know, all we're ever here is a sound bite when you're at an NFL game. So yeah, the buck stops with him in the end, and so yeah, 29% for me.
Okay. Okay, fair enough. You know, again, I understand why you you mentioned the buck stops at him, because he's the owner, so he has to take some of the blame of this. And guys, I just want to mention, I just got a mention from Scott Tanfield that he's having some problems with his laptop, and hopefully he'll be joining us soon. But he is planning on joining us at some point. Just having some issues with Skype, and that's that happens. So hopefully Scott will be joining us. All right, David, over to you. How much do you put on the full owner?
Well, I guess in the owner, it's going to include factors of maybe Ali Mac as well, and people to advise the owner, and even
I guess you could put that all together. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to put it all together because, as Mike said, the buck stops with him ultimately, and if he's the one who appoints people and it goes wrong, then he's got to take the blame. So, let's not have a major disaster here on my adding up. I've already given 40% of my votes away. So I'm going to be giving another 50% away now, I'm afraid. So I think half of everything has got to be the blame of the manager. The owner, because he is the man at the top. He's the man who decides how much we spend, ultimately. He's the man who decides who's appointed, who isn't. Or he has the final say-so of these things, whether he has people advising him. If his decisions are wrong, then he's to blame. If he appoints other people who make bad decisions, unfortunately, he's also to blame for that, whether you like it or not. 50% has got to go down to him, and I think, in some ways, maybe even more, because he is the owner. And, his whole tenure has been a disaster, we have to say. I mean, I hate to say this, because I know we spoke to him, he's been on the show, I know you have contacts, you speak to people who know him, Russ, and everything, and I don't want to upset people and put people's nose out of joint, but his tenure has been a disaster. His first season, we lost our place in the Premier League where we was established. Our second season, we're doing our best at the moment to lose our place in the Championship, so... it can't really get much worse, can it?
well, David, it could get worse if we get relegated again. So the answer to that would be yes, actually. Let's hope it doesn't get to that point. I understand why you guys are placing blame at the owner. That's why I put him down there, because, again, the buck does stop with him, as Mike and you both have said, David. So I get that. And you've also put it under the umbrella of the people underneath him because, again, it's his management. So I see why you're going with that, David. No issues with that, David. You feel free to vent and share your thoughts on who deserves the blame. It's your opinion. You're totally entitled to it. All right, David, because I'm going to go right back to you. Because, again, what percentage do we put on the players here, David?
Well, I'm going to give my other 10% to the players. I'm not going to give any to injuries at the end, so you can cut me out of injuries and I'll do them both together. Because you're always going to get injuries. You're always going to get injuries of some sort. That's the rub of the green. Sometimes you're more lucky than others. You can't go around, otherwise you're going to end up being like Martin Yole and you're going to spend you're going to spend 2 years moaning that, results weren't as good as they were because of injuries or because we sold Dembele and Dempsey, but we do nothing about it. So injuries, no. I don't think we haven't really been that unlucky with injuries. We've had a few. But I don't think we've had anything too serious, have we? But the players, 10% down to them because, at the end of the day, you put them out on the pitch to do a job and either they don't do the job they're meant to do or they're not good enough. And so somewhere in the whole mix of things, you have to factor them in. And, the last few games, I think we've been more or less in agreement that Kit has put out something like the best side that he had available to him and they still weren't good enough. Okay, now that can be the coaching, it can be, it can be lots of factors, but some of the things, couldn't even string two passes together at times. Our passing was abysmal. Our choice of ball was abysmal. Once those players are out in the park, it's up to them really to go out and carry out instructions. So either they're being given crap instructions or they're not following instructions. So somewhere in the scheme of things, and it's not their fault if they're not good enough, I guess, but still, you have to factor them in. So my final 10% goes to the players.
Yeah, no, I hear you on that, David. All right. Mike, I'm going to go over to you. I just want to mention that Scott Tanfield is on the line. I'm going to go back to Scott at the very end because I want to give him a chance to share his blame pie. But before I bring Scott on, Mike, I want to go to you, and I want to get your percentage for the players. How much do you put on the players?
Well, I've got a huge 1% left to play with over the last two categories. So, the players and the injuries. I mean, I agree with David. Injuries happen all the time. And to be honest,
okay.
The two main injuries we've had, which are Amber Etter and Hoogland, some people argue they're not good enough. We are missing them. Hyman's had an injury. But really, has it been a factor in where we are? I don't think it has. So I'm going to give the players 1%. The reason I'm giving them the 1% is they've shown that they can be good. They've shown that they can be bad. It's inconsistency for a lot of the youngsters. The senior players probably haven't stood up enough times. But really, the overall factor, as you can see from my percentage marks, is we're where we are because of the management of Felix / Simons not getting the best out of the players and, you know, giving us an eight-game start with 1 point. And that is the main reason where we are, is because of the messing around at the beginning of the season. I personally think with the squad as it is, it still could be good enough top eight, but we're missing a few players to make it that extra push. But I think they've been, you know, let down by their management. So I'm not going to proportion, you know, more than that 1% to the players. And, you know, in conclusion, if you like, it all goes back to the summer and the early games and the messing around. We gave everyone a head start. We never had a chance to catch up. And so we're now finding ourselves looking ahead two or three games where really we should have another 10 points in the bag from those early games. So it's just caught up with us. We've had no leeway. We never had enough time to get to the playoffs, and now we're finding possibly we've not got enough time to just get away from the bottom of the table. So, 1% for the players, none for injury.
Okay. I'm going to eliminate injuries because you guys have made a valid argument why you don't want to factor in injuries because injuries happen, so fine. Let's forget about injuries. Let's just talk about the other main subjects. But it's very, very interesting tape, Mike, because, again, for you it sounds like you really go back to Felix and management in the beginning of the season that really put us into the situation we currently are because we were behind the eight ball before Kidd even got involved. And that's why I see why you're going with such a percentage onto McGaff. All right, guys, I'm going to bring Scott. Scott is on the line with us. Scott, welcome back to Cottage Talk. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Evening, Russ. You all right?
I am well. Just so you know, Scott Tanfield runs friendsoffoam.com, a wonderful website. I highly recommend you go, and if you haven't already, you need to go to friendsoffoam.com. I'm a frequent visitor, Scott. And listen, thank you so much for coming on tonight. We've been breaking down the blame pie, just going through the different parts. And I know you're coming in a little bit late, but I'm going to give you all the parts. You can break it up whichever way you want. But the blame pie I'm going to give you consists of Felix McGaff, Kit Simons, Shai Khan, the owner. You can include the management with that, and the players. So how would you break down the blame pie for the situation we're currently in?
I'll just call the tail end of what Mike was saying. I mean, I've got to lay the percentage of the blame, I think, with the ownership of Felix. I mean, Felix was allowed to rip that side apart as much as he did, but then the management went with that and installed trust into the Felix to allow him to perform what he did. I think the percentage of the blame has got to go down to them guys. I mean, from what we're seeing from the current squad that we have, I mean, it's not as if we're turning up and players are not trying. I mean, they're trying to the best of their abilities, but we just don't have the quality there in that squad. One of the biggest reasons is also experience. We don't have the experience there either. So I'm going to go with the percentage of the blame or the bulk of it, probably 50-60%. Say 70% with the ownership and Felix McGaff.
Okay.
And then the rest of it, I think, we can't even sort of blame it on injuries. I mean, Hoogland and Amabretto, I mean, whether they would have made a difference or not, I don't really know, to be honest. You know, so a small proportion has to go on the players, but the majority has to be on the owner, and Felix McGaff.
Okay, how much would you put on Kit? Now, Kit came in at a difficult time, so I'm curious your thoughts on Kit.
Sorry, I missed him out completely, didn't I? So I'm a bit of a fluster at the moment, being late in, as usual.
That's okay, Scott.
No, I think, I mean, Kit's got to take part of the blame. I think some of his tactics have not worked. You know, he was always going to have that kind of, that honeymoon period. You know, the team weren't going to play to their abilities, but it sort of tailed off. I mean, I would put sort of maybe 10% of the blame, you know, on Kit, but he is inexperienced. But then you've got to look at the management again of why they've not kind of sort of planned ahead and brought in, you know, an experienced number two or helped the guy, to be honest. So,
well, that, listen, that's a great point, Scott, and we've talked about that. Do you think it's pertinent or it should be a major thing right now to give Kit help, to get him a number two, because he does not have one? And I'm curious why they have not done that to this point.
Yeah, I mean, it's important. I mean, yes, I mean, I'm not a fan of Kit. I wasn't a fan of the appointment. I mean, I honestly thought that we needed experience. Okay, the argument was between fans that experience doesn't always breed success. No, it doesn't. We've seen that with McGatt and Yole. But I thought, you know, for the particular sort of situation we were in the championship with that side, we needed someone with championship experience and experience of maybe pushing players a little bit further than what they are. I feel we're limited with Kit. The panel, the owner, possibly should have seen that at the beginning, thinking, well, yes, we will have this honeymoon period, but what happens when we do get back to basics? What happens when we fall flat again? Is Kit going to have enough, you know, to drag us over the finish line? And the answer clearly is, at this moment in time, no. You know, I would have planned ahead and maybe thought, you know, we have to sort of maybe install an experienced number two. And again, like everything else of late, that hasn't come. And that's my biggest problem, I think, is currently, you know, we tend to sleepwalk a lot.
Listen, that's a great way to put it. Again, you know, we continually talk about, Scott, there not being a plan B, and I understand that. And the way I look at it is, where are the adjustments? Where are the change in formations? Why are the substitutions coming so late? You know, we just talked about the last show, Pat Roberts coming on with 5 minutes to go. Why are you bringing him on then? 5 minutes to go. How much can you expect Pat Roberts to do in 5 minutes? You know, just little things. And again, I'm not, you know, I don't have the experience that Kit Simons has, and I just think that possibly he needs someone in there to help him. There's nothing wrong with needing help, and you know, and getting help, you know, with his progression as a manager. So I agree with you. For me, it's something that I don't understand why they haven't given him help. I don't know if he wants help. I think that it should be something that should be given to him, honestly, by the owner. You know, it should be something that should be a priority. Get him help. You know, help him progress as a manager. Help him have being able to, you know, to share ideas with, you know, to bounce ideas off of. Because right now, to me, it looks like it's just him. So again, you know, I think he needs someone else in there. I completely agree with you, Scott. Very, very good take there.
Yeah, it's
all
becoming.
Right.
Sorry.
No, I go ahead.
No, I'm just saying it's becoming stale every single weekend now. Tactics tend to be the same, and it's not just the fans that are noticing it, but it's the other teams that we're playing against now just tend to sort of figure us out straight away. And unfortunately, in this championship, it's an unforgiving league, and every team now, it's constantly week after week. You know, they hit us on, you know, they hit us wide, they hit us wide, they hit us wide. And somebody's not seeing anything. There's no ability to change anything up, and there's no ability to bring anything else into the game. And that is the biggest worrying thing.
Now, do you put that down to Kit, or do you put that down to not giving him the players to play different ways?
It's probably a little bit of both, but at the end of the day, it is down to tactics. I mean, if something doesn't work, you change it. It's as simple as that. Game after game this season, you know, our fullbacks are constantly under pressure from no support from midfield. And it's like I said, game in, game out. So something has to be changed. That diamond formation isn't working. We all know it isn't working, but it's constantly played. So,
yeah. You know what? I'm sorry, Scott. You brought up the point that has been driving me nuts. We all know at this point that the diamond has been found out. Teams know how to play against it, and somehow we have not been able to adjust away from the diamond. So it's something that, again, you know, I'm not a manager. I'm just someone that watches a good amount of different sports and watch how teams adjust and how teams have adjusted against us, Scott. It's frustrating that again, it could be. It's not as simple as a change of formation. It's also substitutions. It's also, you know, change of players. You know, can make a difference, and it's not working. You know, teams know how to play against us, so. So, again, I could see why you guys are so frustrated with Kip, because he's not changing. Maybe he is stubborn. But at some point, teams have found us out. Well, it's time to adjust, Kit. It's time to, you know, we can call it plan B, but it's time to change what you're doing, because what you're doing is not working. And I always talk about this with any team I follow. I want a coach, manager, to put my team in the best possible position to succeed. And sometimes that means adjusting during a game, during a match. And we're just not seeing that enough here from this Fulham side. So for me, that does start with the manager. We're talking about in-game adjustments. You know, again, it starts with him. It starts with before the match. There have been matches where I think we're set up to fail before we even begin. So, again, I know he's a new manager. That's why I go back to what you said, Scott. I think a number two would be a huge help to him right now. I couldn't agree with you more.
Mm. But is it too late now? I mean, these changes should have been implemented before, you know, we had this run of bad form. It was coming.
Yes.
You know, again, we failed to plan ahead. I don't know whether that is down to the owner, whether it's naivety of the board. You know, but you always look at a situation. I mean, I do it at work, I'm sure. It's not exactly the same, but we all do it. We look at something and think, well, okay, well, this will have a tendency to, at some stage, to go stale. We need to have a plan B. We need to think ahead. You know, even like the signings in January. I mean, I didn't expect us to spend money. You know, not a lot of fans did, but we at least expected maybe one or two experienced kind of loanees to come in to help drag that inexperienced team across the line. Again, it hasn't happened. Why is that? Is it because we're not favourable? You know, wasn't asking for the club to spend £10 million. I don't know, maybe just a couple of experienced heads to perform as leaders out on the pitch, which we haven't got. If they're not beating us tactically, they're then beating us physically. So we've got two problems there.
No, very, very good. And before we move on, because I want to get your ideas, the three of you, on how to fix Fulham Football Club. Before we do that, Mike, I want to go to you, because I want to get your thoughts on what Scott just said. We've really been focusing on him having a number two. Do you agree with his idea that Kip needs help?
When the job came up, I wrote a piece saying that I would have liked Tignall to be director of football and with Kit as the manager. And now that's different to having a number two. And we're now in a situation where lots of fans are saying Kit needs the older head, especially an older head in the dugout. And I think some people get confused between, you know, having a senior bloke above him or actually having that help there on the pitch with him. And I think that's what he needs. But this would be now the third manager. We had Chris Coleman, who was told, you know, Steve Keane isn't good enough, you need to get another coach in. He was his own man and said, no, I'm not doing that. Keane stays, and he ended up getting the sack. We then had Joel, where the club went to him and said, you know, what about Moulinstein? What about having another number two or someone else come and help? Eventually we got him, and then we saw what happened. And now you have a manager who's inexperienced at that level, although he has managed, you know, the younger teams and some caretaking managing in the past. But it's very dangerous for a board to go to him and say, look, we think you need to have an older head in and we're going to bring someone in. Because you're undermining them almost straight away. So I know from discussions that if Kit wanted someone else next to him, the club wouldn't have an issue with that. But it's really down to the board, you know, calm, Rig, McIntosh, whoever has a chat with him, say, look, we're in a situation, you know, everything that Scott just said is what all the fans are saying, you know, we're too one-dimensional. Yes, he changed it on Saturday for the first half, But then to get Ruiz back in the team, you have to go to a diamond. So, or the, you know, the three and the one behind. And so, yeah, I mean, I personally myself, if I was at a club and I there was a conference call and it was Khan, it was McIntosh, it was Rigg in his day at the club, I'd be saying, right, one of you has to go and speak to Kit, tell him he needs help, and can he recommend someone he wants to bring in? Or if not, you know, we might have to foist someone in because we're worried about the situation. And
very interesting take. And while you were talking, Mike, I got a message from one of our co-hosts, Emilio Donnell, and he had a name. I'm going to throw out the name that he's suggesting. What about Glenn Hoddle?
No, because Glenn is someone who's just come from QPR who on a losing streak as well. And also, Glenn is someone who wants to be a manager. You know, so straight away, you're undermining the man in charge. If you go back to Keegan, he had Arthur Cox, his right-hand man, who followed him around all the time. That's what you're looking for, someone who can bounce things off, go and have a chat with, you know, somebody in your ear saying, look, boss, you know, you should be doing it. Not someone who's, you know, I wouldn't say Hoddle would ever stab someone in the back and that, but there is always that feeling there, isn't there, that, you know, here's this bloke who still wants to be a manager. And we know with Hoddle, he'd jump at the first biggest job that comes along, and the biggest job is the one which, you know, which Roy has. And but, yeah, I wouldn't go with Hoddle, I have to admit. I would be looking for someone else. But it's a very difficult situation, and really, I do believe it has to...
You think it has to come from Kit?
It has to come from the board. It has to come from Kit, really. Yeah, it has to come from Kit. He has to go, look, I want this bloke. Because as soon as the board goes to him and say, you're having someone, that's it. He's out the door, isn't he? You know, be it right away or in the summer, because we don't trust you.
Okay. Very interesting take. And David, I'll go to you before we talk about fixing Fulham Football Club. What are your thoughts about this? And also, Emilio's suggestion of Glenn Hoddle. We actually talked about on the show prior, you know, I can't remember who brought up the name Danny Murphy, just throwing out a name. But what are your thoughts about a number two?
Well, we need to do something, I think, at the moment. Because either Kit's going to lose his job and we have a whole new team come in, or Kit needs someone there who can help him. I'm not sure how much, you know, how much someone will help him, because if he's in charge, he has the final say. Does he have the right idea about things? I don't know. Will he have too much faith in certain players? You know, will a second person make enough changes? Will he have enough influence to make changes? Because, I don't know, I kind of get this impression Kit is stubborn. I might be reading between the lines completely wrongly. But, you know, if Kit has identified someone he wants to come in, it's one thing. But if the club foists someone upon Kit that maybe isn't his choice, I can't see it working somehow. It would just end up being another mess like we had last season. So it's got to be done very delicately. And, you know, I think Mike's suggestion, obviously, what we said, I think we'd all love to see John Tigana back there somehow, because, you know, what he did was fantastic at the club before. He revolutionised things. And if he could, you know, do half of that again, we'd be in a much better place. So, I mean, it's difficult to identify, because whoever comes in has to be someone that Kit can work with and wants to work with.
Right.
Otherwise, as I say, we might as well just trash the whole thing and start again.
Oh, boy, I don't know if I want to do that right now. But but I hear what you're saying, David. No, seriously, it's a delicate situation. That's why I'm glad that we could talk about this. And also, partially why I want to do this show is because, you know, I wanted to get ideas from you guys exactly who to blame and then how to fix it. So let's move on to that. Let's move on to the part of trying to fix Fulham Football Club. And, Scott, I'm going to start with you. I'm going to put you in the owner's shoes. What would be your plan in the short term and also in the long term to get Fulham Football Club going in the right direction? What would be your plan?
I mean... It's difficult to say because we're so far along the line now this season that, again, it seems that we've been kind of set up to fail. Not intentionally, I just think it's through people not having the experience. But the problem is we're so late along the line now. I mean, this Brentford game becomes a complete six-pointer on Saturday, then we've got another, I think it's three, four difficult games after that. So if things go drastically wrong, we could find ourselves back in the bottom three. And then when we're there again, with an inexperienced manager and a team that lacks a lot of experience, will we have enough to sort of drive ourselves out of it again? This time around, I don't think no. So personally, I think... we've got to sort of face this head on with a bit of luck, to be honest with you. I think to fix the situation, the window or the loan window is still currently open. I think we need to go out and get ourselves a couple of experienced players. Not fantastic, but people that are leaders on the pitch, some that can probably install a bit of experience that can maybe sort of drive the youngsters and the experienced players a little bit further. I don't know, it's a difficult one, really. Kit does need help. I personally feel, I feel he needs to be another dimension. He needs to change things. And hopefully that has an impact on the team and our fortunes start changing. That's how I try and look at it, anyway. I just think it's maybe a little bit too late again to maybe sort of make decisions in sacking him. But come the summer, I think, if, you know... the situation isn't any better, or we just starve off relegation this year, then we need to change. I think we need to change that managerial position again, to be honest.
Okay, so for you, if you're the owner, you try to weigh this situation out. Hopefully, you know, we stay up, and then you assess, and if you might change the manager this summer.
Yeah, because I don't think, from what I'm seeing at the moment, that Kit has enough ideas or tactical knowledge to turn that side into a championship-winning side. I think if the owner's got any serious intentions of getting that club back to the Premier League at some point, whether it's next season or the season before, at least making a challenge for it, we need somebody, you know, who's been there and done it before, I think. To waste another sort of 4 or 5 years on another manager could be a serious sort of dent, you know, in our challenge title, to get out the championship. So,
okay, very, very, very interesting take there. All right, Mike, over to you. You're Shaikhan. What would be your plan, short term and long term? Did I lose you, Mike?
Sorry,
David, you still with me?
I'm
sorry. Okay.
I'm here.
Okay. What would be your plan, Mike?
If I was Khan, I'd... it's all about advising, isn't it? Who's talking to him? I mean, I would certainly be surprised if there hasn't been some kind of meeting, like I say, by telephone conference or, you know, Skype, whatever, between Khan, McIntosh, possibly Rigg, and I'd want all three of them, plus Simon, somehow in a meeting discussing where they are at this moment in time, and Kit, what plans have you got to get us out of this mini little mess that we're in at the moment, which could become huge by Saturday week. But next week should not be underestimated. We have three games, which you look at it, we could lose all three and be in the bottom three after Derby. So it's crucial. I would want to know from Kit, what's he doing this week with the players? What's his plans going forward for Saturday? And I would also be saying, look, do you need players? Having spoken to people, we need players. So who should we go and get this week for you to help us? And that's what he needs to do. He needs to be a leader, needs to put his fist down and say, you have to do this because it's not working at the moment. And I'd make it quite plain to Kit as well that, you know, these are the targets for the end of the season. I mean, my view is I always looked at this season after the bad start is, as long as we finish the season well, momentum-wise, get into the summer, get some players in and push on from there for next season. I would very much now say, Kit, end of season, 60 points, and I'll continue with you next year. 55 plus, we might have to consider it. I reckon below 55, he's going to be out of a job in the summer. So
okay.
I'll make it plain to him that he needs to buck his ideas up and and get something going this weekend and show me what he's going to do to make things change.
Okay, very good. And, David, before I go to you, Scott, I want to thank you for sending me that article about the changes at Brentford. Very interesting. I would highly recommend everyone going to the Brentford website to see what they're doing with their changes of operations. It's very fascinating. Thank you for sending that to me, Scott.
That's right. Just, it flashed up, and I thought that something's happened just recently. So.
No, it's actually interesting how they're changing their structure, and it gets you to think about the situation with Fulham. That's why I find it very interesting. And again, it's a club, you know, a club down the street, and they're proactively changing. And I while you guys were talking, I was just skimming around this. It's a very interesting article. I would highly recommend everyone reading that. All right, David, over to you. You're Shaikhan, which is a scary thought. What would you do?
But let's not go there. Well, I don't know about being Shad Khan. I mean, we've kind of agreed now. I think we've agreed. Tell me if I'm wrong, but we've agreed that the problem at the moment, the immediate problem, is the diamond. The diamond has
Correct.
Been found out. It's not working. Other teams have sussed
right.
us out. It leads us to be narrow. Our fullback's under pressure. We're conceding corners. We're conceding crosses. Yeah. Now, we thought we'd got rid of a certain player. However, that certain player is back.
Oh, David, we have to go back here.
We do. Well, this is the problem. I mean, this is...
We have... Are you kidding me with this? I'm putting you as Shad Khan, and you're going to talk about Brian Ruiz?
Well, this is just part of it, isn't it?
What does Brian Ruiz have to do with Shad Khan?
No,
tell me, really, I put you in the position of the owner, and you're going back to Shad Khan,
okay.
and you're going back
okay.
to Brian Ruiz? I don't get it.
I'm Shahid Khan, yeah? I'm
yes.
thinking, for God's sake, do not play the diamond anymore. If he plays the diamond next week, I'm going to sack him, yeah? And then what happens? Up pops Brian Ruiz, and we play the diamond, and we're useless. That's just, you know, that's only... there's only one thing, but we've kind of said the diamond isn't working. We've also
okay.
said to play Brian Ruiz, we have to play the diamond. So on that one alone, Kit has got a hard task in front of him. Because the problem is,
right.
there's probably more people want Brian Ruiz than they want Kit at the moment, from what Mike was saying. You would have thought that when he was warming up on Saturday, that, as I say, we'd sign Lionel Messi or something. There is a lot of support for Brian Ruiz, but that is just kind of one facet of where we're going wrong here. And we have a player that doesn't even want to be here by his own admission, and yet, you know, he's probably going to get back in the team. So that's a big problem for me, that Kit perhaps has too much faith in the wrong people. So Shahid Khan, I don't know. I think I would find out how much money I can get and run at the moment, because it's just been a disaster, hasn't it? But I reckon that would be... It would be very little. I don't think he'd get anything like his £198 million back. It would probably be closer to four-fifths of you-know-what. But
okay, David.
Shahid Khan, I think Shahid Khan needs to find someone to give him serious advice. He needs someone who is like myself, maybe, who is blunt speaking. Someone, you know...
Oh, that's right. David. We need you as an advisor to Shahid Khan. I would totally recommend that.
Not me, but I mean someone who's blunt speaking, yeah? He needs someone who's not going to mince his words or beat around the bush. He needs someone who's going to, like, give him clear advice.
Okay.
Because I don't think he's getting the right advice still, because he can't be getting the right advice. This is just not going well.
Okay. Okay, but David, the exercise of trying to fix the club, the reason why I put you I wanted you to play Shad Khan to see how you'd fix Fulham, and for some reason... It got back to Brian Ruiz, and I was going to let you, you know, again, it made more sense if when I go down the list in your kit, then you could talk about Brian Ruiz. But as Shad Khan, I don't understand, you know, why bring up Brian Ruiz then. I wanted to know your long-term vision for Fulham Football Club as Shad Khan. Next thing I know, we're talking about Brian Ruiz, David. That's what surprised me.
No, I'm just putting... I'm going from one end of the chain to the other.
Okay.
I'm trying to show you the immediate short-term position. That's my immediate short-term concern, that that Kit is going to stick to his diamond formation. Therefore,
okay.
Shahid Khan needs to do something else because it's just not working. And we know it's not working. And yet, you know, Kit has toyed with the 4-4-2 as well. And yet on Saturday, he went to a 4-4-2. And it didn't do any better. So we need something different in there. I mean, it's nothing that... I don't think there's anything that Kit can do this minute, particularly, that's going to make a major change. I think Kit is out of his depth at this minute. He needs some remarkable turnaround. He needs some... I don't know what's the word, really.
Miracle?
Some epiphany, that's a good word, isn't it? An epiphany. What do you think? Epiphany, is that a good word? That is, isn't it? Yeah?
Epiphany, yeah, that's a good
epiphany.
One.
Yeah. He needs
okay.
something, you know, something drastic to happen, really. He really needs something drastic because, you know, if we carry on as we are, we'll be in League One next year. And I know you're saying it won't happen, but if we carry on as we are, it will happen. And, you know,
okay,
and
David.
Don't stick your head in the sand. So get someone.
I'm not going to stick my head in the sand. We're going to talk about relegation at the very end. I told you, we're going to talk about it.
Shahid Khan needs to do something now. The problem is, I can't give you the answer to that exactly what it is, because sacking the manager isn't necessarily the answer. But
okay.
Shahid Khan either needs someone else running the club who's going to make better decisions, or he needs someone to help the manager who's going to make better decisions.
Okay. Okay, fair enough. And, David, feel free to dial back in, and I'll talk to you in a few minutes. All right. All right, Mike. I'm going to put you in the role of Mike Rigg, Chief Football Officer for Fulham Football Club, because, again, his job is to be giving Kit Simons and the club more talent. So what would be your short-term vision and also your long-term vision if you were Mike Rigg?
I'd probably be digging out a contract to see if I actually signed it and see if there was any way to get back to the FA, but I'm not sure. I would be going for... He's probably got a little black book. Well, it's probably a laptop, isn't it? And searching for players to recommend Kit to say we need these two players in the team straight away, you know, what do you think? And you know, he's new to the job, he's new to working with Kit, and but he's been around the block, he knows what's going on, and see what Kit's reaction is. And if Kit's reaction is, you know, I don't think we need those, then Rigg has to report back to Khan and tell him what his feelings are, quite frankly. But, yeah, I would hope that he's ready there with some, you know, with some kind of options to improve the side just for the remaining, you know, 15 games. And what we're looking at is, you know, somehow finding five to ten wins somewhere out of that to give us a good finish to the season. So that's what I'd be doing. Short term, I mean, long term, he's going to be building the scouting system and looking at the summer. But I'd also be hoping that, you know, he's there very early at the beginning of the summer, going out and getting probably the five or six first team players that we need to make a challenge in the Championship next year to help the youngsters and the players that we already have. Because that's all I think we really need. Once you take away a few more of the deadwood and you have a lean squad next year, five or six first teamers with experience, you know, you can go for all the teams we've played this year and pick out five good players. And, you know, yes, you've got to do it within financial fair play, and if you've got to sacrifice one of the youngsters for a big fee, someone like, you know, Roberts or, you know, Dembele's probably gone down, you know, in value, but, you know,
right.
if we can pick up, sell one player, but let's say, you know, a decent 7, 8, 9, and get another three experienced players in for, you know, 2 or 3 million each, then that's what you've got to do. And, you know, I fully expect us to cash in on one player this summer. I don't know who, but, you know, I'm pretty sure we will. And that money will have to be recycled back to improve the team. But, yeah, short-term, here's some players. Loan window's open to the 26th of March, I think. So we've got loads of time to get players in, but we need players in over the next few days, 10 days.
Mike, you know, it's funny you talk about the emergency loan period. Can you just explain exactly how this works, you know, again, because, again, I'm just curious. You know, we're we're still fairly new to the championship, just being there this year. How does the process work? Is it really just anyone, you know, because it's called the emergency loan period. So how does it all work? I'm just curious.
Yeah, the emergency loans, it's a bit of a, yeah, it's the wrong word. It's a loan window, and if we want to go out and loan players, that's what we go and do. It's not a case of you having to prove that we haven't got any right backs, I need to loan one. If they're available to be loaned, you can get them in, and the window's open to the Thursday the 26th, I think, of March. And So that's not an issue. Yeah, that's not an issue.
Okay.
We can go out. Yeah, but try finding the rules. They're as clear as mud.
Okay. Thank you very much there, Mike, because, again, I that's why I wanted to ask you about this time period as Mike Rigg, because, again, if you know, for me, I think you need to bring in a player or two that you think that can help you in the short term and also in the long term. All right, David, I'm going to put you in the role as Mike Rigg. What would you do?
I would say how wonderful Jack Grimmer is. Sorry, Mike Rigg, sorry. Sorry, Mike, that was a terrible joke. Well, what is Mike Rigg going to do? Because he's had this role created for him. And, you know, I think we probably agree it's to identify talent, isn't it? To
right.
find the players that we need. So, yes, as Mike said, go out and find some players and fast, because we need to bolster this squad. You know, if you look at people we play now, I don't know if we could do a straw poll even of who we would bet, but I think, well, someone like, you know, we've seen in the last few weeks, Daryl Murphy or Jordan Rhodes up front, someone like that would be great, wouldn't it? In midfield, someone who, you know, we were talked about before, people like Henry Lansbury, for example. You know, you could go through all our rivals, I guess, and say, yeah, we should be looking to sign people like that, him or people like that, because they seem to be able to do a job. Obviously, that's not going to happen now. I don't know on the rules of the loan as well, because obviously it is a bit misleading, the emergency loan window.
Right.
Can we get them from Premier League? Sorry, clarify that. Can we get from Premier League or not?
Yes, we can.
I don't know,
yeah.
Mike.
Yeah, you can, yeah. If they're available and they can come on loan, it's not an issue.
Okay.
So that, yeah,
okay,
so I mean, we have the potential there. Obviously, it's like, I suppose, Fofana, isn't it, would be an example of that, of course, because he's from the Premier League. And I don't know if it was the same situation, but, yeah, I think it was, wasn't it? He came in the loan window, what you call the emergency loan window. So, yeah, I mean, there's no reason we can't get players of a high quality. And I think we need it. The big problem for Fulham is that, you know, people and Kit think that we're OK, that we have a good enough squad. But, you know, the results aren't happening. So I think Mike Rigg has to be brutal, really, And even if Kit doesn't like it, he's going to have to kind of, you know, be cruel to be kind. But the trouble is, will Kit guarantee to play? Are they going to be singing from the same sheet? Because, you know, he can bring all these people in, but will Kit play him, or will he carry on playing his favourites or people that, you know, he thinks can do a job? The big problem is we have supposedly good central midfielders. You know, Parker, LVC, Fofana, Tunnicliffe. But you can't really play them all. You really can't. You can only play two or three of those at most. And we don't have maybe much on the wings. And we know we've let George Williams go, and he could have done a job on the right even, with Kaká on the left. And we haven't got anyone really who can play right wing, not that I can think of. I mean, LVC has played out there, but it's not really him. So, you know, are we going to go out and find, you know, a top right winger and switch to a 4-4-2. I mean, there needs to be some sort of, you know, Mike Rigg can't just go out and say, right, I want him in and him and him, because it has to fit the system and it has to be all in agreement with Kit. You know, otherwise the whole thing will not work. So it's not just about what Mike does, unfortunately. It's about, you know, it's about Kit as well again, and
okay.
Who's going to play. And if Kit's going to play the Diamond and Brian Ruiz every week, then, you know, Mike might as well bang his head against the wall.
Okay. Guys, I've got some bad news. Scott's having a hard time dialing back in. He got kicked out for some reason. So he's trying to dial back in, so hopefully he can join us. But right now it's just the three of us. I'm sorry. Having problems, Scott, if you can hear me. And he keeps messaging me. So Again, we're having problems with Skype today, and I don't know what's going on. Anyways, okay, good stuff there, David. As always, and I wasn't making fun of you, just so you know, when I was saying, you as Shy Khan, I was just joking around.
No, the thing is, the problems are at team and pitch level, really. That's where the issues are. I mean, it's not,
okay. You
know, as I said with Mike Rigg can bring lots of people in, but Kit has got to deploy them, and they've got to, and it's got to work. Shahid Khan can change the manager, he can change anything, but it doesn't necessarily guarantee his results on the pitch.
Okay. I hear you. All right, I think we have Scott back. Scott, are you back with us?
I'm back. Anything Fulham related these days just does not work. It's just...
That's great, Scott. That's great. Okay. We're now talking about Mike Rigg, director of football for Fulham Football Club, and the guys have just been given different ideas of short-term and long-term, and, you know, we're talking a little bit about the emergency loan period, which is now open. You know, again, there are opportunities here. I'd be curious your thoughts. If you were him, what would you be doing right now in the short term to help Kit? What would you be doing long term this summer?
Obviously, correct me if I'm wrong, but he's not started yet, as he doesn't start till March. Is that right?
Correct.
Yeah. What's the reasons? I mean, I don't know the whole story. Is it because he's still contracted to the FA? Why is he not starting?
Yeah, I read something about it. I don't know the exact reasons, but I read somewhere that it wasn't going to be until March. But again, it doesn't mean that he's not doing things behind the scenes.
No, I agree.
Could be. I don't know. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, even if he is doing things behind the scenes, it's clearly not happening. Because we've not brought anyone in. It's clear as day that we need a minimum of a two experienced players in that side. I personally, for the short term, I would have stuck my neck out to maybe get someone on loan in defence and possibly another older head in midfield. Someone with a bit of leadership quality. I mean, Parker's never going to do it on his own, but also someone that brings a bit of physicality to the side as well. We don't seem physical enough. If a lot of teams are beating us by tactics, then they're beating us up. It's as simple as that. That's personally what I would try and do short term if I could, is just to get a couple of players in there. Then long term vision, I think he really needs to hit the ground running with Fulham, because, I mean, that squad is... I mean, I know Kit came out with something this week about we're still building, and I think we've kind of stabilised and gone backwards, not building anything at the moment, and I think he's got a very, very big job to do in the summer, and that's finding us the quality that we need to become a sort of, if we remain in the Championship, a better quality side in there.
Okay, very, very good stuff. And let me just clarify again, the Mike Rigg situation, I've read that, like you said, Scott, that supposedly it's March. You know, again, nothing's been clarified, so none of us really know exactly, but I have read some things, so you could very well be right on that. And again, I don't know. You know, I'm speculating that behind the scenes he would be doing something, but I really don't know. So I should take that all back. I should take that all back. But in the long term, definitely. You know,
if he's not starting until March, I mean, again, why haven't we planned for this? I mean, why haven't we planned to sort of draft something temporarily to sort of help with acquisitions this January? Again, it's something we've not looked at. We said, oh, yeah, it's fine. We'll limp through yet again. You know, we'll be fine. And it seems to be the same pattern as last season. We're never just going to limp through. And once again, we're flirting or sleepwalking with the potential of being relegated again.
Yeah. And we're going to get there in a few minutes, Scott. And before we get there, I'm now going to put you in the shoes of Kit. What would you do right now in the short term and also in the long term? How would you turn Fulham Football Club around? Sounds like, based on our conversations, you would get rid of the diamond, at least temporarily. But what would be your vision to turn this thing around as the Fulham manager?
Well, if I was Kit, I mean, I'd look over the last few games and be honest with myself and say, number one, I think Dave's sort of hit the nail on the head. Kit seems to be very stubborn. He comes across as a very stubborn person, and we had that with McGatt, and that never worked. you know, I think you need to have a look at what's working and what's not. And, you know, that championship has been the same for years. Magat tried to rewrite it. It never worked. And I think Kit needs to sort of look at it and say to himself, you know, I mean, even looking at Ipswich the weekend, they were nothing special. They were just well organised. You know, they had experience in the side. And that's currently what's working. He needs, I think, to come back to basics. He needs to sit that side down and say, we need to come back to basics. You know, let's all calm down. Let's go back to how we was and try and lift the team that way, to be honest. Clearly, what he's trying to do is not working.
No, it's not. It's not. It's definitely not working right now. A very, very good point. And I'm glad that you brought up the way that the division has been in for a very long time. And I'm glad that you brought up Ipswich, because just last year they were struggling. And it's about just, you know, again, being a consistent, tough team. You know, again, there's nothing real special about Ipswich Town. They have an informed striker, but besides that, they're just a disciplined side. So maybe it does go back to what you said, Scott, getting back to basics and just playing solid football. You know, maybe that's what ultimately works in the championship to get you out. Very, very good point by you. All right, David, over to you. Your kit, what do you do?
Well, I think he needs to realise that it's not working and that he needs to make major changes. The big disappointment was last week he hinted at making sort of changes, but really they weren't substantive at all. It was pretty minor. It's very difficult to go and reinvent the wheel in a few days. But, you know, he does have the potential, at least this week, he has Hoogland back to make, you know, give him more options. Not saying it's going to really change things much, but, you know, I think Hoogland will be fit to play. I assume he will. He has Kavanagh also back. At least, you know, these are people who play in wider positions. It gives him the option, perhaps, to play a stronger team or a team with more width or double up on the flanks. Because, I don't know, this is my problem, is that does Kit actually see it? Or is Kit oblivious to what's going on? Because that's what worries me. And that, you know, even, and I know we're talking about Brian Ruiz again, but even though Ruiz has said he doesn't even want to play for Fulham, you know, he's going to be professional and he'll see his contract out, but he said, right, he doesn't want to be here. And yet, Kit is still talking about getting him back in the team. And to get him back in the team means, you know, probably the diamond again. And to me, it just isn't working. It just really isn't working. And, as you know, I've seen that clearly. I saw that on Saturday again, that, you know, we've given away early crosses and things, and they've scored from an early cross, early possession. So I just don't know, really. I'm sort of banging my head against it as well. I think that Mike Rigg banging his head. I'm banging my head. Kit needs to somehow, someone needs to say to Kit, look, it's not working. You need to make major changes here. But although we have a big squad, I'm not sure we have the quality to make the major changes. At the end of the day, whichever team he puts out, it will still most likely be, you know, perm, sort of any 11 from 13 or so, really. You know, you could say, let's think outside the box. Let's start Patrick Roberts. But we've tried that as well. It hasn't really worked. You know, it goes from one extreme to the other with Patrick Roberts. He either doesn't play or plays for 5 minutes, or we see him from the start. Up front, I don't know. We don't have a complete striker up front, and we can play five strikers, but we're not making we're not creating things out of midfield. So I really just don't know what Kit does with this. I think if he can get someone else in, if he could get a quality player in now, I would do it. Someone who can play in a midfield position, you know, especially say wide right would be an example, because, you know, we can manage on the left, we can play Cavan on the left, we can play Kaká on the left. But on the right, I don't really know. So I would look for someone on the right, maybe, to get in. I don't know what's happened to Lionel Cole, whether he could come back in. Because all the other options are not really, you know, creative. You know, so you can play LBC right there, but he's probably better in the middle. You know, you could play Hoogland there in front of Grimmer, or you could play Grimmer in front of Hoogland. I don't know if you really want to double up. But it's not really, you know, the right player for the right position. you know, you could end up playing Brian Ruiz there. He goes back to 4-4-2, but again, it doesn't really work. If there was a way to get Brian Ruiz in the team that worked, I'd say do it, because, you know, a player of his quality should be able to do something. But I just don't think it does work. So I think Kit needs now, you know, between now and Saturday, to get someone else in, another player in at least. A player who can do something different, because I don't know how he can do something different with the players he has.
Okay. Very interesting take there, David. What's interesting, we'll be talking about this on the next show, are some of the players that have left the club. You know, we really haven't touched on that. George Williams going out on loan. Very interesting moves recently. You know, Elzad Zveretic finally leaving the club. You know, you don't have to say Zveretic anymore, David, which is a good thing for you. You know, again, some players leaving. We're definitely going to have to talk about that on the next show, because I'm thinking there's a move coming. That's just between us. I think that they are clearing room to make a move, whether, you know, to make a loan deal. That's what I think is going on with sending George out on loan. That's what I think is going on, but I could be wrong. We'll find out. But I think that there's a move coming up. Let's see if I'm right, because you might get your wish, David. I think something's going to happen. I just don't know what. And I hope you're right, because I think they need some help right now. All right, Mike, over to you. I'm going to put you in the role of Kit. What would you be doing right now?
Yeah, so, yeah, I don't want to go too much into the kind of team I would put out, but for this week, because we can talk about that Friday. But he has to look in the mirror and admit that things have gone wrong since Christmas and that he needs help. And be that a senior bloke to come in and be in the dugout with him, someone just to talk to, someone to sit in the stand and watch what's going on and give him advice. But I mean, he has to be man enough to say, I've done a good job. It's gone a bit wrong recently. I just need some fresh eyes on it. So I would preempt the club and go to him and say, I want X person to come in and help me for the next few weeks. And so that's the first thing I would do. And then, as David and Scott said, we need two players. One for me would be a defensive midfielder, which we should have got last summer. Not a dirty player, but a physical one. Someone to just keep the ball moving around. We've seen Hoogland do that job, but personally I don't trust him as he's just not fit enough. And we need someone who's got that experience in the Championship who can compete against, you know, the Millwalls and the Wolves coming up. So priority one, midfielder to either replace or help Parker in the middle. And then probably another centre-back. Although I said I didn't want to talk about this weekend, I would certainly be looking at Byrne coming in and breaking up that back four somehow, because three of them, Hutchison, Bodaroff and Stafelidis, have been playing consistently now for probably almost 8-10 games in a row, and it's just got worse, you know, culminating in horrendous defending the other day. So he's just got to realise that he needs help, both personally to help him do the job and then help for the team. And as Scott said, get back to basics. You know, footballers are very like it kept simple. So let's just go 4-4-2, very solid. Let's not look at the flair. Let's double up on the wings and the full-back positions. It can put you a little bit under pressure. But it's, you know, safety first and then build from that. We've got to stop letting goals in. With a 60% of the time, we're letting the goal in first. So, you're fighting an uphill battle all the time. And that's the worst in the league. So that's where one of the problems is. So we've got a summer, you know, Millwall is going to be a fight. Their crowd is ferocious at times, and it's not going to be a good atmosphere. And, the young boys out there, the ones who aren't going to be used to it, they're going to struggle, I think. I think it's going to be a really tough game Saturday.
I totally agree with you. You know, again, it's going to be a real difficult atmosphere for them. And, oh, boy, it's a big match, guys. There's no question about it. I never thought that it would get to the point where this Millwall match would be huge, and it really is. And, listen, before we finish up the show and go to my final topic, I just want to thank you guys for sharing your ideas on how to fix Fulham Football Club and also going through this with the Blaine Pie. Some very good ideas from all three of you. You guys were have been fantastic, really. And I appreciate you doing this with me, and that's going to lead to topic I don't really want to talk about, but I feel that we have to, and that's relegation. I David, you know this. I don't want to talk about this. And I know that there's gray in this, but the way I'm going to present this is I want a percentage. So I'm going to start with you. As of right now, what is the percentage you would put on Fulham getting relegated this season? As of right now.
Well, as of right now, we've lost the ability to win a game. We're letting in goals too easily. So you have to say the odds would be on us being relegated as it stands at this minute. If we carry on the way we're going, that's where we'll be. So overall, I think somewhere we'll find something. Oh, I hope we will. But
okay.
At the moment, 60-40, 60% odds of relegation, because I'd say there's more than half a chance of us doing it the way we're going.
Okay, 60% to you, David. Okay. Scott, over to you.
I think it's 50-50. I think it's touch and go. I think what we do next season. I just feel if we fall into that bottom three, I don't think we've got the experience in A, the manager, and B, the current crop of players to get out of it again. And as the weeks are going on, the realisation of it is becoming more and more in my eyes. Didn't ever want to see the club in this position. I thought we'd come through the leagues, we'd never end up playing teams like Gillingham again, but it's now becoming reality. But I think it's definitely 50-50. I think these next four games, regardless of whoever we're playing, Millwall, Derby, Bournemouth, have to change something. And if we can get through them four games, I think our odds will get better.
Okay, but as of right now, you put the odds at 50-50. David has it at 60-40. Mike, over to you.
Yeah, I'm not going to be that bad. I mean, we've got 15 games left. We've got 35 points. We would have to be horrendous not to get even a point a game and reach 50. And I think 49-50 is going to be the relegation. So, I'm pretty confident we're going to not get relegated. So I'm only going to give it like a 10% at this moment. Now, if you want to come back to me after Derby, Russ, and we've had three losses in a row, then I suspect that will have changed. But as we stand today, I know we've had a bad run, but teams have bad runs. That's what happens, and then we get out of it and we pick some wins up. It's just natural. That's the way things go. And I don't believe we're one of the three worst teams in the league. We've had four games. Forget the cup games. We've had four games where we haven't got a result, really, a draw, I think. But, and a couple of wins at home. It's all since Boxing Day. It hasn't gone well. But I'm sure it will turn around, but we will have a better picture in, what is it, 12 days' time or whatever it is, 10 days' time. Next week is crucial, absolutely crucial. Minimum, as I said earlier, is he needs a win. Well, he certainly can't lose on Saturday. And even if he loses at Wolves, he won't be in charge at Derby. I'm absolutely convinced by that. And
okay.
He needs to pick up 4 points, though. Minimum three, but 4 points next week is what he needs.
Okay.
And, yeah.
Listen, these next four matches are crucial, so I definitely understand where you're going. I understand where all three of you are going a little bit different for Mike compared to David and Scott. And, David, you and I have talked about this. You know that I don't feel that Fulham are going to get relegated. But I'm not blind. I see what's in front of us, and I go on the lines of Mike. As of right now, I don't see us getting relegated, but talk to me after the Bournemouth match, because that could completely change, because then we're really going to be struggling to move forward. And that's what concerns me. So I agree with what you guys are talking about, that these four games coming up are crucial. But I had in my mind that I was going to say 10%, so I'm going to go with Mike Gregg and say 10%. But again, I reserve the right to change my mind, and I'll do just like you said, Mike. I would change my mind after this four-match stretch. If we get nothing out of it, then yes, because we'll probably be in the relegation zone, and that will not be a good place. And as Scott said, and I'm not going to disagree with him, getting out of it with the lack of experience that we have is going to be very difficult. So it really is about not even getting in there. So that's why this first match is huge, because if they win this match, I think we're going to be in decent shape. I think it's that much of a swing. I think it hurts Millwall that much if we win this match. Even if we draw, I think it helps. But if we don't get a result and they win, then we could really see ourselves in trouble. So, but right now I'm going to put it at 10%. All right, guys, let's wrap up this show. And first, Scott, again, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a while. I appreciate you coming back on, my friend.
No, it's just it's been work and bits and pieces and sort of joys of life getting in the way. Tonight didn't help with, for some reason, my Skype had literally disappeared off my laptop, so scrambling to get that reinstalled and everything full and related at this moment in time is going wrong. So I add it to the list, to be honest with you.
Not a problem, Scott. And listen, I recommend everyone going to friendsoffulham.com. Again, if you're a supporter, you have to go there. You know, again, I'm pretty sure everyone does. But I want to mention, Scott's in charge of friendsoffulham.com, a tremendous website. You definitely need to go there. And again, thank you so much for joining us, Scott. And hopefully you'll be back with us soon.
Yep, we'll do, Russ. Cheers, mate.
Oh, okay. And Mike, you were great, and as always, I'll be speaking to you soon, my friend. Thank you so much for joining me tonight.
Yeah, cheers, Russ. Thanks for putting this show on. It's we miss a bit of a midweek Fulham chat, so it was good to air a lot of our opinions tonight.
Yeah, no, definitely. And David, you always get a 10 out of 10 with me. Good job, my friend.
Well, I think it was really difficult tonight because you know, there's so many balls to juggle in the air as to where we go with this, whether it's the management,
right,
the owner, the manager, the players. And it's really hard to say what, you know, I'll tell you, if we could have come up with an absolute certain answer, then I think we should have all taken over. They should have had a coup. But it's not. There's just too many variables, aren't there? So all
yeah.
we can hope is that, you know, someone makes a decision that does prosper the team, because we do need it. And, you know, I dearly hope we're not going to be relegated. I dearly hope, because that would be a major disaster, even though it would make my season
can
achieve
I just,
achieve next year. But, you know, the way we are at the moment, we don't get a win. If we can't win, we're in trouble. So I hope
okay.
I'm wrong. I hope something turns around. Sorry, Mike, you were saying?
Go ahead, Mike.
I was going to say, I think you probably just nailed it there, really. You know, I mean, there's four of us discussing what to do, and you know, we can come up with various things, but I think someone somewhere at the club, be it Khan, McIntosh, Simons, even someone somewhere has to realise we're in shit and do something, and they need to off, and they just need to wake up, and someone has to take control and realise, you know, in 10 days we could be in the right trouble. And they need to do it this week and not wait until the weekend.
I agree with you 100% there, Mike, and I'm glad that you ended the show that way. That was a very good point that you just made. I gave you the final word, my friend, and a very good final word. Before we go, just a reminder, you can download Cottage Talk on iTunes and on the Stitcher Radio app, which is available on the iPhone, iPad, and the Android. Also, you can listen to Cottage Talk now on the TuneIn app, which is available at most app stores for your mobile device. Well, that's it for the show. For David, Mike, and Scott, I'm Russ Coleman. Thank you again for listening to Cottage Talk. Cheers, guys, and thank you.
Cheers, guys.
Thanks. See you. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye. Bye.